Is it exciting? Are you nervous?
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Opening up your whole world to these people in front of us.
Is my mic working?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I know. Well, to Google, we are an open book because they know everything we do. So that's right. Yeah, but it's great. You know, it's always fun to get to know people in the church, and that's what this is about. You know, it's us getting to know you. You guys get to share your heart, and you know, and you know, all of us go through the same things in life. That's what I've come to find out over the years. Is it's just a little different. It's kind of works a little different, but all of us have the same feelings and emotions and things like that. And you know, really, one of the most powerful things in people's lives too is a testimony. You know, is when you just share your life. You know, that's what impacts people the most and encourages them. So, okay, I'm gonna. I have all these questions, and I know you, but I don't. I want you to just start a little bit with kind of. You know, where did you guys grow up?
Like, where is in life?
Yeah, are you guys from Tucson?
Yes, I'm from Tucson. I was born and raised here.
Okay, born and raised. You too?
And I'm from San Diego.
Okay.
California.
Okay, make sure their levels are up. We want to make sure we got them going.
Testing.
San Diego, you're from San Diego?
San Diego, yeah.
How long did you live there?
I lived there 19 years.
19 years, so wow, Southern California girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miss the beach.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I bet. Can you guys see? Are you guys able to see okay? Okay. And you guys think of some questions, ma'am. Later on, I want you guys to pepper them, too, with some good stuff. Hey, what were some of the – let's start with Megan. Megan, what were some of the challenges that you had just as a young girl growing up?
Well, a lot of my challenges were kind of about insecurity. I was kind of raised as – like I was the weird kid in school and, like, the loner, like the third wheel that nobody really wanted around, but they kind of felt sorry for. So I was always.
Why was that?
What?
Why was that?
Because I just did. I wasn't normal. I just wasn't normal. I actually watched a few videos of me growing up, and I'm just like, what in the heck am I saying? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know how to connect to people very well, and I also like I was more comfortable around guys than I were girls because girls were like
mean.
They were vicious. Like they kept like putting me down a lot and like saying things like, well, you know, you're not pretty enough, you're not good enough, and they would constantly like tear me down in ways that it was just really bad. So I think that was definitely the biggest struggle, I think, like growing up too, and even still to this day, is insecurity. It's just something it's so hard to like battle with each day, of just knowing how much God loves you. And just it was just really bad in school. Like there would be people who, the girls especially, who tell me like, you need to kill yourself because you're just not worth anything.
Wow.
Like it was.
Don't ever do that.
I'm not going to. I'm saved. I'm
just
good, guys.
Say no.
Yeah. And
true
yeah.
love matters. What's another hashtag? right.
All lives matter.
All lives
all
matter.
All lives matter.
yes. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I know where you're going with that.
Yeah. Like it basically like drove me. I mean, my story is kind of interesting because I didn't really have like a time where I like gave my, like there was no one time mm-hmm. where I felt like, ah, yes, this is the moment where I gave my life to Christ. It was like this whole process mm-hmm. and insecurity definitely had a lot to do with that as mm-hmm. well. So,
yeah, Rachel, you're sitting there just going, just nodding like, mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. So how about you? Same thing when you were growing up?
Challenges growing up.
Insecurities. What were some of the things you had challenges wise? You have a good family?
Yeah. I grew up in a Christian family, but I kind of rebelled when I was like starting around like 13.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the challenges I faced growing up, I had a lot of labels put on me. Like, I was kind of on the opposite end. I was hanging around like the cool kids, mm-hmm. like the popular girl, I guess. And a lot of people just labeled me. And I started getting called names when I was like 13, like slut, whore, and things like that. So a lot of my friends face the same type of deal. And so I think that was a challenge for me growing up.
It's amazing how
a lot of girls.
It's amazing how girls can be so hardcore.
They are so hardcore.
And like, I wasn't even any of those things, but people,
yeah.
I don't know, people just labeled me as that. And
yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know, in both your guys' lives, has that kind of followed you into your young adult life? You know, those kind of labels, having to work through it and everything like that?
Yeah, that created a lot of insecurity for me. I'm like, why are people calling me this? And then I guess in my own mind, like, maybe I'm like, am I these things? Like, and I know that now because I know, like, who I am in God. But, I mean, still, like, kind of in the back of my mind, you can't, words hurt. Like, you can't like, overcome things people have said to you. I mean, you can, but you still, like, think about them every now and then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, for me, I definitely started to believe those words. Yeah. And it was kind of like, you know, the more and more people say something about you, it's like the more and more you start to believe it. And it's like, you can't, it sucks. It's like, I've been through a lot of physical stuff, but the emotional stuff is what hurt the most and, like, stuck around with me forever. Yeah. Like, scars can heal. Like, physical scars can heal, but emotional wounds take a long time.
Do you guys both look at the world as a hostile place towards women?
For sure, yeah. Like, I saw a lot of stuff happen to my friends, like, whether it was name calling or, like, just people can be brutal. And, like, in high school, when everybody kind of got into partying, like, I saw a lot of girls being drugged, raped, like, just terrible. Not literally seeing it happen, but I mean, a lot of bad things happen to a lot of women I know, and they're still facing struggles. Girls in college, too, same sort of thing. So yeah. I think it's hard out there for us women, for sure.
Definitely. That's all I have to add.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the culture, there's a strong, like when I was a kid, there was a very strong feminist movement that started with the lady, Anthony Dworkin, Catherine McKinnon. Catherine McKinnon was a lawyer. Anthony Dworkin, I think she might have been a professor or something, but she was, what?
Her name's Anthony?
Yeah.
Oh,
Or no, sorry, Andrea.
Oh.
Sorry. Yeah. I must have been thinking about Anthony.
I was like, Anthony?
But
what,
you know
what?
In today's culture, it's okay to say Anthony because we're into fluidity. So it really doesn't matter.
Like, gender's right? Fluid, all that.
But they both were really strong, like, advocates for feminism. Yeah. And the feminism that happened in the United States in the 70s was kind of a one kind of style of feminism. It was like misogyny bad, patriarchy bad, meaning male dominance bad, the system of male rulership bad. And this kind of developed, and today you have feminism on many levels. You have all these different kind of sections of, if you will, sex of feminism. So I guess my point is that women today are getting a lot of voices more than probably, you know, than any other time, for sure, certainly in the world, probably.
Yeah.
So some of the feminists would say, like, hey, go do this, you know, be liberated, go do what you want to do, kind of thing. Yeah. And that happens. And then you have other feminists that kind of go, you know, no, don't be a part of that, you know. So do you guys feel like as you guys are growing up in today's kind of feminist culture that is really strong? I mean, it's really strong. Like, do you guys feel the impact of that cognitively? Like, are you guys just aware of it? Or do you think it just kind of, you just kind of aren't even aware of it, and you guys are just walking through it, you know, kind of thing.
I think one of the things about feminism that kind of changed, like, for me, that I've noticed is that now there's even more pressure to be that independent woman or whatever. So there's like a lot of, like, oh, well, you need to get a job by this age and make this amount of money, and you need to go to school and get your degree. And it's like, I don't know if that's what God has, like, wants for me. And it's like, but you gotta be independent. Like, you don't need no man or anything like that. And you don't need people in your life.
You don't need no man. That's right.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of what I've noticed personally of just,
I don't know. I think feminism was, like, appropriate back in the day when we, but nowadays I don't really see much of a purpose in it. Sorry if anybody's a feminist in here. Like, I had a lot of friends back home who, like, claim themselves to be a feminist, but I was like, do you even know what it means? Or, like, do you, I don't know. And I have a couple friends who, like, walk in, like, women's marches, and I hate to say it, but I think they kind of just do it to be, like, a part of the culture a little bit. I think some people, maybe don't know a whole lot and just kind of like say, yeah, I'm a feminist, like to like fit in.
Yeah. Now, as girls and now women, young women, do you struggle with any parts of the Bible? Just growing up in our culture as a woman, and then reading the Bible, and I guess that's where I'm driving this a little bit, is that in the culture you have such a strong feminist movement, that the Bible can be somewhat weird. Mm-hmm. And, you know, coming from a non-Christian background like myself, you know, when I first read the Bible, first of all, I thought it was fascinating, but I realized there was a lot of things I didn't quite understand culturally, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, is there anything you read about it? The male dominance in it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It never sits well with me.
Guys, I just read, like, this was seriously today. This past week, I read in 2 Samuel. Does everyone here know about Amnon and Tamar?
Like, no.
No.
Why don't you break it down for them? Because it's a really good story.
I love this. So basically, Amnon was one of David's sons, and this other guy, Absalom, his other son from a different wife, had a sister named Tamar, and she was very beautiful, and Amnon lusted hardcore after her, and he says that, oh, he was in love with her, that he, like, made himself sick, and it's like, no, dude, you lusted after her, like, it's not love. And anyway, so he ends up tricking her, and he ends up raping her, right? And after he raped her, she begged him to marry him, because, like, she was just like, I need to get married, because, like, otherwise in that culture, it was very much like, if you lose your virginity, or if you, like, anything like that, you are no longer, if you don't marry the person that you lose your virginity to, they, like, exile you. You're a desolate woman forever. And so basically he, like, raped her and then said, get out of here. I don't even want to see you anymore. And she basically just, like, had to live her life isolated. And then even later on, you see that Absalom basically wanted to take over David's kingdom. And then when David, this is like far, like a few chapters after this, David was away from Jerusalem, and he ends up sleeping with 10 of David's concubines. And then when David returned as king, he had to basically be like, I'll provide for you, but you guys have to live like a desolate life. So I feel like for me, whenever I read that stuff, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine. Like, first of all, this girl didn't even want to get, she was like begging him not to do this, you know, and she didn't even want this to happen. And now because of what he did, she can no longer get married. And I can't imagine like how lonely that must have been for her. And all these like other girls, these concubines that didn't ask for it. I mean, this is like, you have to take orders of a king's son, you know, and it's just kind of, it's so sad. I feel like there's a lot of stories like that in the Bible where that has happened, and it's just like, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Rachel.
Yes.
This is an interesting question. Okay. What have you learned from men in your life? Like, what have they taught you? Is there anything that you just go, yeah, you know, they've taught me all this cool stuff? Or what have you learned from men?
Well, I grew up with two older brothers, so I was, like, roughed up from a young age. And, like, boys never impressed me much. Like, I was always just like, whatever. Like, you're not even that cool. But I think I just kind of learned to, like, see between the lines with guys. Like, there's more than meets the eye. I think they try to, like, be tough and not really show their emotions, but I know they're in there, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm thankful I have, like, a really great father who is a good leader. So to me, like, the, like, submitting part, submit to your husband, I've always been like, what's that supposed to mean? Like, I don't know. It just sounds weak, you know? But I like to think of it more as like a partnership, you know? And I guess I see that in within my mom and dad's marriage. So I'm like, it won't be too bad. But my mom is more like,
my mom. It won't be too bad to submit, you know?
Yeah, I suppose. I got to pray about it. But like, my mom is kind of like the more strong-willed one, whereas my dad is more quiet and like keeps to himself. So I've always mm-hmm. seen women as really strong because like I, that's kind of how I view my mom.
Yeah.
But I still know like deep down my dad's like the leader. So mm-hmm. I've had a good example growing up, thankfully.
Yeah. What have you learned about men just in the world in general?
Well, what can I say about men? I think there's a lot of them who are like misunderstood, kind of like I think guys kind of can like put up a front a lot of the times and maybe aren't very true to themselves, like because mm-hmm. girls will talk for hours, like we get together us girls and we're talking about our feelings and like everything, whereas guys it's more like, hey, what's up, dude? Like, so I think if guys learn to maybe let that guard down a little bit, yeah. like they'd be a little, maybe a little happier in life. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Just like, it's good to just get your feelings out there and like be real, you know?
Yeah.
So like, I applaud guys like you who are just, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
you keep it real. You
know, it's real, I yeah. guess. I'm glad my wife, good. I hope my wife digs it.
Yeah. And your kids she's been with me too, for a while. Sure. Yeah. So. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there are guys out there though that are that way.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think you know? I've encountered.
It's like I always hear this. I always hear guys always say, man, there's just no good. There's no cool Christian girls.
And then
there's girls. I talk to the girls and they're like, you know, there's just no good Christian guys. I mean, I've had to play matchmaker in this crew for like one generation. I played matchmaker. I really did. And I'd have to get with some of the guys and be like, yo, dude, see that girl right there? You know, if I was your age, I'd be over there. And they're like, what? And I'm like, you don't see her? And they're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, and so it worked pretty good. I think I got a few marriages together, and it seems to be
I'm still single.
Okay. Yeah, but I've been out of the ministry for a while, so, you know. But sometimes I think that way, you know, and I get to talk to different people, you know. But yeah. I find it interesting because a lot of times what I hear from you ladies is sometimes I hear from, you know, the reciprocal. You know, I hear from the men. Mm. You know, very similar stuff, so... I wonder what that's all about, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of cool Christian girls out there. I've met a lot of cool Christians and guys too.
Yeah.
But I think you just have to like break the ice a little bit and like get talking.
And get talking, break the ice.
And then you like figure out they're like, you're like, "Oh, you're cooler than I thought you were," you know?
Yeah.
This is kind of weird for me because normally I've grown up a lot differently where you know, I didn't have a good relationship with my mom. And I was really, really close to my dad. So it's actually so much easier for me to go up to a guy and just start talking to him than it is for me talking to a girl.
So just the friendship part of it. Yeah. Just having, you know, but has it affected any of your trying to, you know, have a boyfriend and
yeah.
keep a boyfriend and things
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, that's a lot different. Okay. And yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to go into all that right now. Why don't you guys tell me both how you guys came to know Christ? Like, was there, you know, just how that kind of happened in your life?
Well, for me, there's definitely, like, a moment that happened. Like, in high school, like, as I said, I was, like, hanging out around the wrong crowd. And I still feel a little bit of guilt because, like, I got into drugs and drinking. And, like, I kind of brought a lot of my friends along with me. It's kind of like the leader of the pack, and I'm like let's party and like, you know, smoke, and we thought we were so cool. And so mm-hmm. it just got to the point where like it wasn't really fun anymore, and I'm just like, what am I doing, you know? And there was one night specifically where I come home from a party and I was really, really high, and like I was not able to sleep, so I was just kind of tripping out, and it got so bad where I was like hallucinating a little bit and just tripping, and so it's not even that funny. I don't know why I'm laughing, but anyways, so like I just spent a night basically without any sleep, and I'm like, what is happening to me? Like, I was just so wired, and I'm like, okay, this is weird. And then like another night of no sleep happened, and I was just like, what is this? Like, I never want to do drugs again in my life. And like within that time, a friend of mine reached out to me, and she was going to church, and she was like, hey, like, it was just so like weird, but she was like, hey, want to go to church? And I'm like, this is not a coincidence. Like, I just so happened to be like freaking awake for like, I don't even know how many hours. And like, I was just like, you know what? I do want to go to church. And so within that time frame, like, I went to church with her, and I was just like, I had grown up within the church. So I was like, you know, I really miss this. And I was just like thinking about my friends and like the path they were going down. And I was like, I don't really want any part of this anymore. Cause I don't know. It, like, it's not as fun. Like, it just started, like, it started out fun, but then it was like paranoia and anxiety and like, just like those sorts of feelings. And I was like, I don't want to do drugs and party anymore. And I think for a lot of my friends, it was like a wake up call. They're like, wow, she's like done with this, but what the heck? Like, what do we do now? Like, and a lot of them kept going on that path and still are on that path. But yeah, it was just a wake up call. And I'm really thankful my friend reached out to me, because if she wouldn't, I probably wouldn't have gone to church and had like a turnaround within my own life.
That's cool. That's a good word to all of us, to reach out.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's always a good idea to just like hit somebody up and be like, hey, want to go to church? Like,
yeah, you want to hang out.
They could want
to
go.
Church,
you know,
is scary to a lot of people, man. Yeah. For sure. For me, I was petrified. Especially literally petrified to walk into a church.
Especially if you've like fallen away from it, you kind of feel like a hypocrite going in a little bit. But you just got to do it. You got to bite the bullet.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Dang, my story is a lot longer than that.
So it's all good. We'll keep it under 100, maybe.
I will. So basically, I grew up in a Christian family, kind of. Like, my dad, I actually was raised a lot by my dad's side of the family. I come from a lot of pastors. My uncles were a lot of pastors. And basically, I've been preached the gospel and all that stuff since I was like 2. So, I mean, I grew up knowing a lot about God, but I didn't really I didn't pray the prayer until I was like 12, and even then I was like, heaven good, hell bad, want to go to heaven, that's the way to do it, like, to get into heaven. So and then I really didn't know like God wanted a relationship with me or anything like that. And then in 2010, there was a lot, this was my senior year of high school, and there was like a lot of crazy stuff happening, a lot of death in my family. A lot of things, everything that I was trying to grab onto just kept falling away. Friends that I have made, this is also when I got bullied at school a lot, and like people were just like constantly putting me down. And then one day I just picked up the Bible and started reading it, and I don't really know when it happened, but then like I just like accepted Jesus into my heart. And then it was like, hallelujah. Like, I felt the angels like singing with me, and like, it felt like the prodigal son almost. But then I started getting myself around the bad company, and I didn't have anybody to support me or help me through all of this. So I fell away. It was kind of weird, because I was like involved in like this cult. It was really weird. But I was also prophesized over, which was really awesome. I'll just like show that to you guys some other time, but that was really cool.
Do you have it like on film?
I have it on audio file.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Is it really crazy? Really weird.
It's really weird. But anyway, yeah, so I fell away.
That's cool.
And I was getting myself around the wrong type of people, and I was doubting God a lot. Like, I was saying, wait a sec, like, I've been taught my whole life that this is the way, like, this is the truth. And then I was like, is it really? So I started kind of rebelling against God in a way, and this is where I fell hardcore to some sins. And I like gonna say here, I am not a virgin. Like, I've had sex before, and that has a lot to do with my insecurities, because I basically let guys do whatever they wanted to me at this time, because I felt unloved, and like I needed some affirmation of love, like confirmation of like, this is I just needed something. And it didn't matter if that meant that I had bruises and scars and marks all over my body when I came home. Like, I just let guys use me like that, just because I thought that that was love. And so I kind of was falling hardcore to that, and all this stuff was going on in my life, until like one day I was absolutely alone. I had like no friends, like nothing. And I was so desperate. And that's when I started reading my Bible again, wanting a relationship with God, still not understanding how. I went back to church met a few friends that like were awesome and will come important later, but like I started meeting people and getting involved in church, and then there was this terrible car accident that happened where like I got chronic whiplash because I couldn't take care of myself. Like, it was a pretty bad car accident and it just wrecked me, and I started talking to my ex-boyfriend at this time, and I was just like, you know, like he kept telling me, he's like, oh, this whole Christian phase, it won't even last. I know you, Megan, I know you're not gonna be able to do it. And he was also telling me at this time, like, by the way, I really love you and I still want you, even though he was with another girl. And during this time, I like didn't wanna get up out of bed because like my neck was hurting so bad, and like I went through a lot of physical pain to the point where I just didn't have enough energy to either go to church or read my Bible or do anything. And I fell like so bad. There was this one day where his girlfriend told me, she was like, you know what, just have sex with him. I want him to just get you out of his mind and just be done with you. And I took that as a challenge. And guys, I'm confessing this to you. I haven't confessed this. I have confessed it, but I didn't start confessing it until like about a year ago. But basically what happened was I went over to his house and I had sex with him. And it was a very like when I walked back home, I hated myself so, so much. There was so much, I went through so much depression. There was a pregnancy scare and I had no friends, like nobody to really tell this to. And like, I felt so ashamed of myself because I slept with a guy who was with a girl. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I hated myself. I remember coming home crying and being like, God, I remember getting on my knees and being like, God, just give up on me, because this isn't I ask for your forgiveness, but as you see, I really didn't understand God's love at this time. But I was just like, God, just give up, because I can't be a good enough daughter for you. Like, I know that this is wrong, and I felt so ashamed of myself. And so like, I can't do anything. And for months, that's just how I went. And I went into such a bad depression that I actually considered suicide. And I thank God to this day that I am such a wimp when it comes to pain. Like, no, I start crying when I see people like break their arm or whatever. Like, I don't like pain at all. And I also had my dad who was, you know, who did love me. And so I felt like I couldn't like kill myself, but I was very careless of what I was doing in my life. Like, when I walked across the street, I didn't care if there was a car coming. Like, I really just did not care at all about my life. I didn't value my life, but I still wanted to be a part. I still wanted God because I knew I needed God. And so when I went to, I actually started just like reading my Bible again. I wanted to get involved in a church. That was when a particular someone started reaching out to me. Hey, sup, Jerry? Started reaching out to me, and he was like, hey, Megan, like, you should come to this church or to this event. And like, he kept on asking me that for that summer. And this was only, by the way, like in 2015. So it's only like 3 years ago. He was like, he kept asking me, he was like, hey, like, come out to this thing and this thing. And then it wasn't only him, it was other people that I met from other churches that were reaching out to me. And I wanted to go, but like we were talking about, church sometimes scares you. And I just didn't want to, I didn't have enough energy to put on that fake smile and pretend like, oh yeah, because the church is very, like the churches that I went to were very much like, you have it all together and you're, you know, you're totally fine and you're not dealing with any stress, any problems. But in this case, it was like, dude, I'm struggling hardcore and I don't see any other Christians struggling hardcore. And so, so I just didn't want to like, it just drained me just thinking about it. Plus I'm an introvert, so that just like drained me even more just thinking about it, of being in a group. But I eventually said, okay, fine, I'll go. Like, and it was really cool because Jerry was actually very persistent and like asking me, like, he wasn't like, you know, always like, okay, like, what about this week? But it was like a lot where I've noticed he was like, okay, well, he's not giving up on me, so might as well just go. So I went to this place, this youth group. And that was when I heard Peter tell me, like, he started confessing about his struggle with pornography, and I was like, dude, I'm struggling with that. And it was like, it's like a weight lifted off my shoulders when I heard about that. And I was just like, wow, you know. And I was really into this church, and I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna keep going to this thing. This is really cool. And then I remember, as I'm getting back on track with God, I remember you, Bo, were, yeah, you have a huge part in my testimony, and you don't even know it.
Hey, I'm so, all perked up now.
So two weeks after I started coming here, I was kind of sitting by myself in like that corner over there when we had chairs and stuff. And I was just sitting there all alone. Like, Jerry was my only friend, really, that I really got to know, and he wasn't there. And I was all like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I'm really scared to talk to people. And then Bo, you came up to me, and you, I think you were doing some activity. I have honestly like no idea, but you came up to me and you had this like hat or like a box of some verses, like slips of verses with like little paper verses on them, and you told me, here, pick one. And I was like, oh, okay. So I put my hand in the little thing and I picked one, and I think there was like a lot of them in there, but I looked at it, and the verse, I'm not kidding, guys, this is great. So this verse was Hebrews 13:5, which says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And just like, I went home that night and I actually started crying about this verse, because God was just like, Megan, I know you're going to keep pushing me away. Like, you are going to keep running from me, but I am never giving up on you. And I have never, ever left your side, ever. And you can, you know, throw things at me. You can punch me. Like, I don't care. Like, you can be angry at me, but I am never, ever leaving you. And my love is always there for you. And at that point, I just stopped. I realized I was like trying to prove myself worthy of God's love. And God was like, don't do that. Just stop doing that. You're already worthy of my love. You don't need to try to do it. I remember this one conversation I had with God. He was like, Megan, you're running. You think that you're running towards me, but you're really just running. Like, I've been right next to you this whole time, and you just have to look over. And then that's when I kind of just stopped running, and I was like, huh. And I started, that was the moment I started falling in love with Jesus. So while I wanted a relationship with God, that's when I really fell for him and just fell completely in love with him. And yeah, that's kind of how it happened.
That's cool. There's a lot of good stuff there. That's okay. No, it's good. You know, in both of your guys' life, how has the church been, or is the church, do you feel that the church where is the church difficult for women to grow in? You know, is the church and the way the church is sometimes in your guys' life, you guys have been around church for a long time, Christianity a long time, is there things that make it difficult for women, because you know, you guys both have gone through things, and the younger generation is more tapped into a digital world than ever before, and you know, everybody sees things so young, everybody you know, things impact them so much, and they're so involved. You know, is there anything you guys think, just in your experiences, that the church just doesn't get, or they struggle with when it comes to young girls and helping them in proper ways?
I think one of the things is like confessing a lot, because mm-hmm. Like for me, I know that when the first time that I confessed my struggle with like pornography and lust, like those things aren't really, you know, mentioned for girls.
Those
at
aren't
church.
Girls' issues.
Yeah, man. Exactly. But it's like
girls
it is.
Don't no. In my generation, it was always this. You know, me and Syl go to a marriage conference, and there's people up there, and they're like, all now, men, they struggle with the eyes. Girls, they struggle with the emotions.
No.
And my wife would always look at me and just go, what the heck are they talking about? Yeah. And that's when we, like, at 22, we checked out. We said, you know what? No more Christian marriage seminars for us. This is weird. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what planet these guys are from.
Right.
But it wasn't, me and Syl just couldn't relate to a lot of these stereotypes, you know, that are still really riveted, because the church is culturally behind probably a good 45 years, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Behind the current flow. most of you guys who've been around me have kind of, you know, been around. I'm in the culture, and I'm always, you know, talking about all kinds of crazy stuff. But I know that that's not, you know, if we just take the conversation and we just went into that room over there, you know, and or hang out with your parents, who I know pretty well, a lot of them are just like, blah, 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 blah. They're like, what? Yeah. You know, women struggle with porn?
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's because, like, the older generation is more conservative and, like, kind of, like, swinging on the pendulum. Like,
or they think they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my family's pretty conservative. Yeah. But, I don't know, I grew up going to a really big church, so I always felt like I saw, like really pretty people who like look like they have their life together, and I was just like, oh, no, like this is what you grow up and you do. Like you just like I don't know, you walk around and like you're just like doing good in life. And so, I think sometimes within church, like people see it as that. Like a lot of my like non-believer friends are like kind of think of it that way, and then I'm like, well, you know me, and you know I'm not like that. So it's like.
That's cool you say that.
Yeah, because like I think people think about church, and like I kind of think about it sometimes too. I'm like, everybody just like puts on a smile and their best face, and they're like, you know. But I like when it gets more real and we like talk about the realness of
there's
what's
no
going
one,
on.
There's no one in this room that struggles with church more than I do.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. As a pastor and an elder for 24 years.
Yeah.
So you can speak very honestly about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad you are. You know, I think that's a good point that you make. You know, so, you know, is there anything you want to add to that, Megan? Is there anything you think that's just negative that the church can do better in, you know, to make, you know, especially these young girls, you know, because I talk to, you know, I hang out with the junior high a bunch now, and I'm and I have these 11-year-old girls that go, Pastor Bo, can I talk to you? And I'm like, yeah, what do you want to talk about? And they're like, well, I got a question. It's kind of about my sexuality. And I'm like, hey, let me talk to your parents first. So I talk to the parents, but I'm sitting down with these 11-year-olds, you know, and they're talking about, you know, they're lesbian or they're curious about gender. You know, they have a gender dysphoria or something like that. You know, and so to me, it's kind of normal to talk about it and things like that. But, you know, I'm glad they go to me. You know, I'm glad they've talked to me about it, you know, because I don't know, you know, that freaks out a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it can start within like the families. Like, I think our generation will be different when it comes to those things. I think there's a lot of kids who are afraid to go to their parents and be like, oh my gosh, I'm struggling. I know I was growing up. Like, I hid everything from my parents, like, just because I was like, it's a no-go. Yeah. I would talk to my friends about everything, you know, but it was just different.
And so, think of how many friends, I always tell parents that you got to understand that your kid has a million pastors, a million counselors, a million psychologists. They have a million friends all at their disposal. All. It's all digital, all online. You know, so if you don't get it right, parent, dude, why wouldn't your kid just get online and go to the community of counselors that are available out there that will listen to them?
It's kind of like, you know? Like if you don't talk to your kids about this stuff, someone's going to someone, and you'd rather have it be from, you know, people who are in love with God versus people who are of the world. And most of the time there's more worldly people that people come in contact with at that point.
So how do you think you women, you're young women, you're in your early 20s? Early 20s. How do you think you guys could change that church culture to really make it different? You know, I mean, I've been working to change the church culture for a long time.
I think there's just like
and it's a slow process, by the way. It takes time, but it does work, you know. It takes a real consistency, you know. But what do you think you guys can do to kind of be that new generation of women leaders within the body of Christ that really can affect, you know, the younger girls coming up?
Dang, Bo. That's a good question.
Yeah. I mean, because a lot of people leave the church now. A lot of people just go, forget it. Yeah. You know, I got many ears that are going to listen to me on my computer, on my phone. So why, you know, come to church?
Yeah. I think for me now, like, I just want to be a big sister to, like, younger girls, because I'm like, just come talk to me. So I try to, like, strike up conversations with some of the younger people who roll through here. I'm like, what's going on? And they'll start talking, and it's cool to talk to them. And I don't have any younger siblings, so I just want to be seen as a big sister, a mentor type, like you, who you can just go to and, like, spill about your life. And I think, I don't know where God's going to lead me, but I want to eventually be able to mentor younger girls. I think that would be super cool. And I think doing things like this and just, like, inviting friends and just having new people come in and just being like, hey, what's up? Like, and just striking up a conversation with whoever, you know, and, like, just being more open to conversation. And
I think for me, it's more of, like, let's not be so scared to talk about the hard stuff. Like, I feel like, you know, if person is struggling with sexual, you know, lust or anything like that, like, all right, let's talk about it. Let's and don't be ashamed about it, because, you know, I'm struggling with that too, you know, or like something like that, where, you know, or just reaching out more to people and just letting them know that they're not alone. I think that's pretty big.
Yeah, and I think it helps when kids especially can just go and, like, confess their feelings and be like, this is going on, like, I don't have anybody to talk to. It's just like, you can talk to me. Anybody in here can talk to me, by the way, if you ever want to.
That's great. And I you know, if I could give you guys anything, it's, you know, continue to be a safe place. You know, one thing I've always done is never try to fix anybody. You know, I'm not there to fix anybody. If someone's part of LGBTQ, if anybody's, you know, and I always tell them, hey, dude, I could be part of LGBTQ too, man. I think dudes are handsome. You know what I mean? It's like, I can go any way I want. You know what I mean? It's all, sex is a choice, you know? Yeah. And they always go, whoa, that's crazy, Bo. You know, go, why not? You know? And, but, you know, I don't try to fix people, you know? And I think when, you know, if I've had any success by God's grace in any kind of ministry, with any kind of student ministry, it's always been by not trying to fix someone. When someone comes to me with a problem, I'm not sitting there going, well, you know, the Bible says, and your theology is, you know, it's not like I'm doing that. My first thing is just to listen. You know, the Bible tells me actually to be quick to listen, slow to speak. And so just trying to listen to people and just enjoy them for who they are, where they're at, those kind of things, you know? You know, how has, you know, when you think of the Bible, you know, what are some of the biggest blessings, or one of the biggest areas of the Bible that you just find very cool, fascinating, you love about it?
I love reading about, like, the mess ups, like when people like really biff it, and they
like all the time,
and they come
that,
like,
that is the Bible, by the way, that's the whole Bible.
I like how it makes me like, okay, I'm like, I don't have to be perfect in order to be a Christian, and even when I do make mistakes, like, I'm gonna overcome it, and there's like, there's still goodness left within even those situations that are bad. Like, there's usually like a blessing in disguise, you know? So
I agree with that, because it's just, I'm super passionate about the Old Testament. Hint, hint for the next next week teaching. it's going to be on that. I'm just like super passionate about that. I see the people in the Bible and I'm like, whoa, like, I relate to this person. Like, I relate to the Israelites when the Israelites rejected God as their king, and they were like, we want a king like all the other people in the world. And I kept thinking, like, so I'm single, right? And I've been wanting a boyfriend for a while, and it's just kind of like, God, I just want to be like everyone else. All of my friends are like married, and, you know, I just want to be like them. Like, why can't I be like them? And just like the Israelites, where they're like, why can't we be like the other nations with the kings? And I'm just like sitting there going, oh my gosh, I'm the Israelites. Oh my gosh. Like, I'm just like so ashamed of myself. But it's cool because God has still proven himself faithful to the Israelites, even like so many times. They go through a cycle of just, I'm going to fall and then I get back up, and then I'm going to fall and I get back up. And you see, it has nothing to do with them. It has something to do with God's faithfulness. So that's why I really love that.
Faithfulness. It's so good. You guys have any questions for these two young ladies? Anything that you're thinking of that you just go, man, I got to ask these girls, man. Mm-hmm. Anything really cool? Come on, you can do it. You guys can ask them anything. Yeah.
Yeah, so you guys both were raised Christian. So my question
Yeah. For me, it was definitely like I grew up kind of knowing that right and wrong, like, oh, it's, yeah, like heaven is good, you know, and you need to accept Jesus. And basically my years of rebellion is what I call it, the 3 years of rebellion against God, was kind of a way for me to prove. I actually went into college afterwards and I ended up I had to study because I was doubting God, because I was like, wait a sec, I grew up with this and I never really questioned it. And I never was like, huh, I wonder if this is the right religion that I'm following. So I ended up taking classes that studied religion. And after like looking at all of these religions, I ended up realizing like, oh, well, actually their religion makes too much sense for me. And I don't think that that's right. But it still like affected me, because I was just like, man, this is all I know. And
Did it make you feel, both of you, did it make you feel weird though, in the culture, like you're in school, you guys have this Christian background, right and wrong, did it make you feel awkward just around kids that seemingly weren't part of that, you know, and maybe wanting to join over in their ranks, so to speak, to go, hey, I want to go over those ranks. Maybe because you felt maybe a little awkward, mm-hmm. you know?
I think for me growing up, like, I was raised Christian, so I had a lot of Christian friends, but each of us was like, well, me and my best friend specifically were like kind of curious, because we both had older brothers who were partying and doing all that. So I was influenced like from a young age, because I have two brothers who are 5 and 7 years older than me. And so I kind of started to see them rebel, and I'm like, oh, that seems kind of cool. Like, so mm-hmm. I always knew right from wrong, and I just decided to do wrong, and my friends kind of followed me in that way, and so that kind of like helped me fit in, I guess you could say. And eventually got to the point where I had to take a step back, and I'm like, okay, this is wrong, I need to turn away from it, you know. So I definitely always had that moral conscience of like, I'm definitely deliberately doing wrong, but I'm gonna do it anyways because I wanted to, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess it definitely did help me fit in, because like that was like the cool thing to do, you know, was party and do whatever you wanted, and so that's what I did. But it was unfulfilling for sure.
For me, I was still the weird kid. So the weird kid who now is a Christian, like, yeah, it wasn't, I never really like started professing my faith really. So it really, for me, it didn't really change much other than, oh, you go to church or like, you know, things like that. And I was always like people would come up to me and say, you know, God's not real, right? And I was like, shut up, you know, but yeah, like little me. Yeah, so I mean, I don't really, growing up, I didn't really see much because I wasn't fully a Christian. Like, I didn't really understand God's love anyway. But it definitely, like, yeah, I don't really know what I'm saying anymore.
Yeah, it's okay. That's okay. Any other pertinent questions you guys have for these? Yeah, Aaron?
Yeah. For me, it's just knowing that I have someone who's pursuing me constantly and is never, like, I mean, he never fails. He's always, always, always thinking about me. And just knowing that is like, man, I want to get to know the one who loves me the most. Like, that's honestly just what makes me go for him every day. It's just his love for me.
I think for me, I struggle with a lot of doubts when it comes to God, and sometimes I'll just second guess it, and I'm like, what even is Christianity? And like, sometimes I just have to think back to like my low lows and how he came through in those moments and gave me hope, and I'm like, he's cool, what am I thinking? Like, I love God. And then I kind of just snap back, and I'm like, okay, so let's do this, you know. And sometimes I like have to force myself to sit down and read my Bible, and it can be a little hard, but once I do it, I'm like, okay, you can do this. Like, he's
and what got you, your back. What you guys talking about is so cool, because you're talking about relying on God's love, mm-hmm. yeah. and then you're talking about relying on his faithfulness, what he's done in the past. Yeah. And all of us can relate to that. Yeah. You know, none of us usually come to God because of some intellectual great pursuit, you know, right. What I mean? There's plenty of intellectual stuff out there, right? But it's usually because God loves us and we're blown away that he could love people right. like us. That because we realize your depravity as you go on. You know, you realize how low you are. And then you realize his faithfulness, right? You realize that he continues to do work ways in your things in your life that you go, wow, and you're thankful for. So
no doubt.
Yeah, well, we're going to pray for them together, okay? Let's pray for these two. Father, we thank you so much for Rachel and for Megan. We thank you for their testimonies, Lord. It's certainly the spirit that is in them has blessed us tonight. We ask your blessings in their life. We pray that you continue to help them in every area that they've spoken of and the areas that they weren't able to share, that you know them so intimately. And we're blessed by just how awesome of a God you are and how powerful of a God you are that you care for these girls so much. And I love their hearts for the next generation as well. I pray, and we pray together, that you would anoint them and raise them up as leaders, that your Holy Spirit would give them gifts, amazing spiritual gifts to use in the church for your glory and for your name and for your fame. And Father, help them to walk by faith, not by sight. Father, when they get some criticism, help them to brush it off, Lord, and say, forget that, man, I'm going after the Lord, and continue to move forward in life. Just continue to give them great hearts for you. And may we as brothers and sisters in Christ continue to just come alongside one another and encourage each one to grow in you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, girls. Yay.